There you go. I want you to crank this. I want you to get the words. I'm going back in time, way, way back in time to some of y'all have been to Ichthus and New Song. Back when Christian music was rock and roll. Not that I'm against the style now. It's just I feel every now and then just like going back a little bit. But if you will listen to the words of this song, you'll see that was not original. Let's get upset. But close your eyes and listen, please. Crank it up a little bit. Crank it up. That kind of music's not meant to be played soft. Get the lyrics. Get the lyrics. That's the main thing. Did you get the words? That's what I wanted you to get. And you could go, well, that's just a little poppy song.
That song really is good. It's called Let's Get Poppy.
Yes. And when I was a new Christian, I grew up with that revolution type sound and song. Because it was like, rah, we got to go after Jesus. Rah, we got to change this nation. Rah, things are wrong here, and we're not going to take it anymore. And then it starts getting watered down, and people get watered down because the people that came in, the first Christian rockers, and I'm not, this is nothing about Christian music, but the first ones were like saved, delivered from drugs, standing on the rock and say, we are not going to give in. We are not going to bow down to your idols. And then secular music companies bought all of the Christian labels and told them they shouldn't preach no more at concerts. And that's not why people come here. They come here to be entertained. There's a lot of good worship conference. Okay, I'm not saying that. But far as contemporary Christian music, they've been forced to choke it down to where it's acceptable to everyone. God's Word, how many of y'all know God's Word is not acceptable to everyone? God's Word is not acceptable to society right now. God's Word is truth, and truth does not change. Truth does not change. Either the Word of God is truth or it's a lie. It's not like it's somewhere in between. It's not that. It's exactly what God said it was.
Amen.
Exactly what He said it was. The Word of God changes not. Y'all agree with that or disagree with that? Is that true? Is that true? And the church is starting to melt down under the pressure of what people say is kind and unkind. You would even be called bullies if you quoted the Word of God.
A hater.
You can get a lot more trouble for not talking about God in school. Law or grace? Law or grace? Law and grace is what I tell you. It's not law or grace. It's law and grace. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Faith or works? No, it's faith and works. It's not or. It's together they become powerful and mighty. Separated, they become worthless. Listen. I'm all about grace. I'm all about grace. For by grace you have been saved, not by works that any man should boast, right? Oh, thank you for grace. If you've been saved, thank Him for grace right now. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you, Jesus, you loved me when I was a drunk. Thank you, Lord, you loved me when I was a druggie. Thank you, Lord, you loved me when I was living in pornography and lust and perversion. Thank you, Lord. Do you really know that? Then you've got grace. Praise God. And see, there's this twisted. It's like, well, you should never be under conviction. Oh, I beg your pardon. I hope you're getting under serious conviction before this sermon is over in Jesus' name. You need to be under conviction. Because when you get under conviction, you can change the path you're on. If you're never on conviction, you're like, well, la, 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 la. Just floating from here to there. Is that truth? You sound like you know that's true. If you don't live under conviction, you're living under the wrong sort of mind. I like that. Okay, example. I was at a get-together yesterday I won't say what it was, but there's a lot of Christians there, which is great, wonderful, I enjoyed it. And when I grew up, guess who was the greatest? Cassius Clay was the greatest. We loved him. The kids loved him. Dad, not so much. Well, because, you know, they thought the Dempsey and Tooney, they thought they was the big boys that would have took it all, okay? The big fighters of the day. But we thought he was wonderful and great. And he was. He was probably one of the greatest boxers that ever lived. Guess what else he was? He was a draft dodger. I know. It was wonderful he did that. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think he was a coward. I don't think that at all. But somebody said, but he was a Muslim. And somebody was telling me, oh, the wonderful man and the wonderful things. And I really don't know what they are. Maybe you can tell me. I liked the man. I liked him. He was funny. He was intelligent. He was strong. He fought the good fight with that disease he had. But this person was like, whoa, he had so many good works. Then I said, but you know what? If he didn't renounce Allah and he didn't accept Jesus, the God he was raised with, he is in hell right now. It don't matter if the Yum Center was filled 40 times over. I know that doesn't sound kind, but that is the truth.
Yes, it is.
For you to make an exception to the Word of God because of this, you can't do that. If Mark, you know, if Mark had, in the 70s and 80s, if Mark had died, Mark would have busted hell wide open. Now, I didn't do all those wonderful things, but it wouldn't have mattered because we're all going to be judged according to what we do with Jesus. What do you do? What will you do with this Jesus? So don't be pulled in by this political correctness. And the person got, you know, they got, I wasn't trying to stir up nothing. I just couldn't let all that go without making the statement. And they said, that's stuff about Muslims all being terrorists. I said, I never said that. I never said that. He said, most Muslims are good, peaceful people. I said, I'll grant you that until they come into power and take control. Then Sharia law takes over. And then women, guess what?
You'd be looking out through a little slit.
But they'll kill you. I'm just telling you, it's okay to beat your wife. It's okay to beat your wife. It's okay to have little boys. It's all okay. If in the Muslim world. Yes, I clarify that. We know it's not okay. But I'm just telling you. And I thought of a statement. This person said that. And I said, I thought of a statement I'd heard somewhere. And I probably won't get it right. But it was, not all Muslims are terrorists. But most terrorists are Muslims. Peace, love, dove. Judges, please. I can't tell. I can't always tell when I'm scoping y'all out. Am I making you mad or am I just making you think? I hope I'm making you think because it's not my heart to make you mad. It's my heart this morning to get you upset. Oh, I want to leave church with peace in my heart. Go to a funeral. Go to a funeral. I don't need to leave church with peace in my heart. I need to leave church going, God, help me, Lord. I'm falling short. As I was studying this, I thought, Lord, help me. I have bowed down to these idols. It's time to stop. Brittany, it's time to stop. She gave such a testimony the other night. Wow. Well, anyway. And every one of the youth testimonies, you know how they started? I grew up in church. I was a church kid. So it really made it strong to me. It really made it strong. I grew up in church. But, and I think Elizabeth said, Mom and Dad had a relationship with Jesus, but somehow I knew that I couldn't ride on their relations. I couldn't ride on their coattails into the kingdom. And I'm like, yes, you said it. Yes, every one of them said it correctly. So powerful. Judges 17:4. I should make a joke now to lighten things up. Did you hear the one about? No, I'm not going to. Lord Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that, Lord, you'd allow me to do it correctly. I don't want to injure nobody. I don't want to hurt anybody, God. I want to see life and life abundantly, God. For me, God, preach to me as I preach. Preach to me, God. I need to draw closer to you, God. I need to throw away some things, God. I need to pull into you more. God, Lord, we need you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. Judges 17:4. He returned the silver to his mother. Then his mother took 200 shekels of silver. You got to remember, these are Jews. And gave them to the silversmith, and he made it into a carved image, a molded image, and they were in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Which, total perversion. Total perversion of the word of God. Idols in the house of the Lord. Choosing a priest out of something unholy and perverted. You can read back right before this story was Samson, who, what, he got perverted by the lust of the worlds and Jezebel. And in the end, it said he got stronger than he ever did. He said, God, just give me the strength. And they put him between two pillars. I'm talking pillars. Pillars. And he goes, God, give me the strength. And he pushed it in. It said more people died that day than he ever slew. And he slew thousands. He slew thousands of Amorites, Pezerites, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-rites. So he just done this. And how quickly the children of Israel pulled back into idol worship, right? And it says here, in those days, there was no king in Israel. And everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Let me read you the definition of lawlessness. The quality or state of being unrestrained by law, disorder. Go to Judges, say 21:25. It basically says the same thing, but I want to read that verse, that last part of the verse again. In those days, there was no king. Anybody got a definition for king? Ruler? Government? Leader? I want to read you what Noah Webster said. The chief or sovereign of a nation. A man invested with supreme authority over a nation, tribe, or country. A monarch. Kings are absolute monarchs when they possess the powers of government without control. And I'm not going to, it goes for a long ways. But in those days, there was no king. And there's, you know, a lot of us, we pray a lot. Y'all sing songs a lot about Lord Jesus. What? Your kingdom come. And your will be done. Where?
On earth.
Right here. Greenville, Indiana. Right here. Faith Harvest. Right there at your work, Susan. Right there. Everywhere you go. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Right there. So the word kingdom contains the word king. Not president, not Congress, not democracy, not republic, king. And it said there that a king has absolute authority with only one king. You're right. If the king says something, guess what? You agree with it or off with your head? Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. No, he's not a tyrant. He's not a hard taskmaster. He is a good Hey, you know what? If America had a good king, it would be wonderful. But chances are when somebody gets absolute power, they're absolutely corrupted. Is that the right? But Jesus is not a man that he can sin. So when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, praise God, right? What happened when you asked him to be your Savior, Sarah? He became your king. But that ain't always the case. I made him my Savior, but I'm not quite ready to let him be my Lord yet. Now, nobody would say that, but sometimes we walk into the kingdom like that because our heart's not right. He wants us to surrender. It's like, that's why we raise our hands to him. That's not the only reason. It is a symbol of praise and worship, but it's like, has anybody ever had a gun pulled on them besides me? What's it feel like, man? You've been shot. Well, no, I haven't been shot, but I look, that barrel looks about this big when you got it right in your face. And you know what? It wasn't a cop. I was someplace I shouldn't have been, and I knew it. I won't go into details. I think I was only 17. It was rare to see guns back in on the street. It was like, you know what I did, Susan? I didn't even have to think about it. There wasn't even a policeman. But I knew that 45 caliber gun had more authority than I did standing there. So I bowed to it. Does that make sense? If you ever have one in your face, you'll know what to do. You don't bow down to the devil. You don't bow down to the world. But when somebody's holding a gun on you, you might be a lot more brave than I am, but you might knock it out of their hand. You might do a Steve McQueen or something, but at the time, it seemed like the smart thing to do. Maybe I wouldn't be here if I did the unsmart thing, okay? You remember that next time you get a gun pulled on you. Matthew 7. Is this all right?
Yeah.
No, really. I want us to quit apologizing for who we are. We got to quit apologizing for what we believe, friend. Really. It's not right. You shouldn't have to apologize. You shouldn't have to go, oh, I might offend somebody. No, I guarantee you, you're going to offend somebody. It's going to happen if you tell the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you offended. No, but it'll make you free. But at first, it's going to be an offense, isn't it? When somebody told you about the gospel, oh, I don't, you know, don't need Jesus. It's offensive. Help me think of that verse. It's the power, the word of God is, it's the power of God unto salvation for those who are being saved. Yeah, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. But to those that are not being saved, it's an offense. So y'all are being saved, praise God, from glory to glory to glory, right? Matthew 7:21. And we've looked at this verse a bunch of times, but I looked at a different piece of it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. What's Lord, Lord mean? It means King, King. Not everybody that says Lord, Lord to me will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many. What's that, many? What's many? Many means many or most, really, if you look at it. It's most. Most will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? What's he talking about? He's talking about the church. Lord, is he not talking about the church? You don't see Satanists doing that, do you? It's the church. Lord, Lord, Demon, go! Sick man, be healed. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name, the name of Jesus? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you accursed, who practices what? Lawlessness. Lawlessness. What was lawlessness again? Without law. Without law. Without restraint. No order. Exactly. Chaos. Chaos. When you try to legislate a nation with laws that please everybody, guess what you get? You get lawlessness. You get anarchy. You know, I think that's an answer to the prophets under the drainage ditches all over the nation. The prophets on the freight trains. The big A, anarchy. We want anarchy. Not unless you're the biggest and the baddest and the meanest of all of them, because it'll come to bite your butt. You don't want anarchy, believe me. I know y'all don't. But it's coming to pass. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And right after that, there was a parable. One of the greatest parables Jesus ever told, even though they were all wonderful. He said there were two men. He said one started building his house on the sand, and one built his house on the rock. And the storms came, and the winds blew, and the rain fell, and the waves crashed. And that house built on the sand, what? Didn't stand. You know concrete, don't you? You got to prepare it, don't you? You got to pour footers, don't you? Even concrete doesn't work if you don't prepare it, right? No good base, it's going to wash away, exactly. And that's exactly what he was saying. But he said, the man's house that was built on the rock, the winds blew, the rains came. It withstood it, all the waves and everything. It withstood everything. And you know what that parable that I don't think many people look at? You know what that parable promises? The storm cometh. The storm cometh to you. The storm cometh to you and you and you and you and you and you. And it depends on what you're built on, how you're going to come out. If you're not built on a rock, you're going to crash and burn and say, Jesus, why did you let me down? Jesus never let me down. Jesus never let you down. Throw that thought away. He has never let any of his people down. It may not have turned out the way you thought it should, but God is God, and he knows. He looks ahead, way ahead, and he sees the goodness of what's going to come out of that trial, if you'll allow it to. Praise God. Matthew 24:3. Did I already tell you to turn there? I'm going quickly. I don't have much more. Well, maybe a lot more. But you can leave anytime you need to. Matthew 24, verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives. What's going to happen on the Mount of Olives someday? Jesus is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives and bam, it's going to split wide open. Does he weigh that much? Is there that much power in him that the mountain's going to split? Whoa. 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 Think about it. Woo. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be removed. And it shakes the whole city, don't it? Praise God. Seen that yet? You watch that yet? What's the room? Oh, man. I'm telling you. Tell us. Tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign of your what? Coming. What coming? He already came. He's coming again. He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's just waiting for these prophecies to all come forth. He's just waiting for them to come forth. He's standing there at the gate. He's on his horse. He's got his angels and his heavenly host. He's ready to break the heavens.
Yes, he is.
He would have nobody perish, though, and I think that's what restrains him. He's looking for this last great revival. So the sooner we get this great day revival we've been believing, sooner we get to go with Jesus and ride our horses in the heavens. Woo! Yeah, with swords. I think it's going to be crazy. Woo! Only mine's going to be a Harley. A chrome horse. I don't like horses. They make me nervous. They don't do what they're told.
Yeah, but you have a whole new body, so you
Good point. Good point, brother. Okay, the sign of your coming. So they're saying, what are things going to be like when you return? This is not a study on Bible prophecy, but we can't help get that. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. What's heed like? Listen carefully to this. And obey what you've been told. Right? Take heed that no one, what? Deceives you. And I met Christians that can't be, they say they can't be deceived. Hey, he would have never said this if you couldn't be deceived.
Right.
Everybody in this room can be deceived.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. It tells right. Well, deceived. Can I read the definition of that?
Yes.
Because it's pretty. Take heed no one deceives you. And it to cause to stray, to lead astray, to lead aside from the right way, to go astray, to wander, to roam, to lead away from the truth, to lead into error, to lead from the path of virtue. So, many will come in my name. And you know, I know a lot of people read that. Many people are going to come and go, Jesus, my name is Jesus. I'm the Messiah. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think what he's saying is many will come in the name of Jesus and they'll proclaim lying signs and wonders. They'll give false prophecies. They will take the word of God and twist it in a way that sounds good to people, that'll fit their lifestyle. I don't twist God's word to fit my lifestyle. I twist my lifestyle to fit God's word. He don't bow to you. He does not bow to you. He does not bow to your lust. He does not bow to your flesh. He will not bow to your flesh. Because he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Lamb of God. Did y'all get what deceive is then?
Yeah.
Praise God. Me too. Take heed that no one deceives you. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled. Praise God. Don't be troubled. These things are all coming. These things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated. What? Say what? Everybody's going to love you, man. Everybody's going to love you if you name in the name of Jesus. Is that what it says? They'll hate you. They'll persecute you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they for sure going to hate you. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. This, by the way, this is to empower you. This is not to condemn you. This is to let you know if Jesus said that's what he wants, you know what? You can do it. Did you know you can do anything the Word of God tells you you can do? You can, yes, exactly. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. You can do anything. What's that? Yes, that's the grace in it. You're right. And that's the definition of grace. Say it again. Wait a minute. I want to get this on tape, although we don't have tape anymore. Maybe on a 33 and a third LP.
The grace of God is what empowers us to live holiness.
Amen.
That's what grace is. Grace is not a license to do whatever you want, and it's not an excuse to cover everything that your flesh wants, but grace is an empowerment to walk in the power
amen.
Of the Holy Spirit.
Say amen if you believe that. Amen. Empowered. Whoa. That's right. He gave us all we needed. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. I think nation against nation, is that not translated ethnic group against ethnic group? Like black against white, Jew against Gentile, da-da-da-da-da. And there's a whole bunch of that going on right now, isn't there? You thought peace had come to our nation and nobody's got problems at all. It's escalated. It's escalated severely. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you will be hated for all by all nations for my name's sake. I already said that. And then, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You notice it starts out saying many will come in the name of Jesus. Then it says many, well, I didn't even get there yet. They will deliver you up to tribulation, kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Many will say, Lord, Lord. Many will be offended. They kind of go in order. Okay, I believe you're Jesus. I believe you're God. I believe you're Messiah. And then you're going to get offended. And when you offend, when you're offended, and the word for that, I know this because of John Bevere, the word for offend is scallion, which means snare, like it's how you entrap an animal or a bird. It's a snare. So an offense is a snare. Many will be offended. They will what? What happens after you're offended? You betray one another. You will hate one another, and then after all these things, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. So when you've got a spirit of offense, a false prophet can just move in and rape the church and just put it in total turmoil. Because there's an offense there. There's a crack in your armor. So, and because, listen, here it is again, verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many or most will grow cold. But, this is the good news, he who endures, how far? To the end, will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. I want to read you just a verse. I was going to read you this whole parable of the tares. You probably know it, but you ought to go back and read it. It's in Matthew 13, but in basically, just let me see if I can condense that. parable of the tares. Jesus told a parable, and he said, a man went out and he planted a field of wheat. And he said he looked out one day. This is way paraphrased. He looked out one day and he noticed there were tares coming up amongst the wheat. And the word for that is darnel. And what that means is there's a plant called a darnel that looks exactly like wheat until it gets ahead and it's ready to be harvested. And then the head will be black instead of golden. So he went out. And the enemy, it said, the enemy, while he was what? Asleep? Yeah. Wake up, America. The enemy, while America was asleep, sowed tares. He sowed things that looked like Jesus, sounded like Jesus, sounded like good morals. But when these things started coming to fruition, everybody knew they were weeds. And they said, what do we do? Shall we go pull these weeds out of the church? Shall we pull the weeds out of the nation? Well, shall we pull these weeds up? He says, no. If you pull up the weeds, you'll damage the good wheat. Let them grow together until the harvest. So that's why people get disgusted with churches sometimes. And I don't think that's here at all, praise God. But there's churches where there's tares growing. There's weeds growing. And they're growing amongst the flock. And they're deceiving them. Verse 41, the Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice what? Lawlessness. And he will cast them into a furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. 2 Peter 4, and I'm closing, promise. And I want to tell you, this is a word of this is a word of encouragement. And if you read the Word of God correctly, it's always a word of encouragement. Always. Always. 2 Peter 2, 4. Everybody got it? Anybody don't have it? Anybody don't care?
Just messing with you.
For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, whose angels that sinned? Can you say demons? If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. One family in the world. Take it down to one family in the United States. Take it down to one family in the state of Indiana. One family was righteous. And what God's saying here is, I gave Noah grace to keep on the path. So don't say everybody's doing it, and I can't. If Noah, without the Holy Spirit, like we have free access to the Holy Spirit, you can make it. You can do it. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to their destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed. Listen, he was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That righteous man dwelling among them, tormented, he was tormented, his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. The Lord knows how, listen, this is for us, man. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust for punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh. And anyway, So is he is able. Is he not? And I like what Joanna said. A lot. I liked a lot. I liked everything Joanna said, by the way. Didn't disagree with anything. Got convicted about a couple things, but more than a couple probably. But I'm not offended because I prayed and got it straight. Jesus, we love you, Jesus, God. We love you, Jesus. Just tell him you love him. We love you, Jesus. And Lord, your word says, and not in a mean way, but it says, if I love you, if Mark Stephen Avery loves you, Jesus, then Mark Stephen Avery will keep your commandments and follow you. God wants, I know God wants more than we, any of us here want revival. I know God wants revival in America. I believe God still has use for America. As far as we have fallen, God still has use for America. He's always out to redeem. He wants to redeem this nation. But like in that song we heard, we are examples to the rest. You got to be a light shining in the darkness. You got to be a light. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let's stand up. Was there a time in your life when no matter what Jesus told you to do, you would do it? Be honest. Has it faded any? Has it faded a little bit? Man, there is no safer place to be than in God's perfect will. Even if he sends you off to an island of cannibals, there is no safer place to be than in the center of God's will. So you just need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Just say the word, if you believe this, say the word of God,
word of God
is truth.
It
is powerful.
It is
mighty.
It
is sharper
than any
two-edged
sword.
It divides my intentions. Just say, Lord, if that's true, and I know it is, divide my intentions right now.
Lord Jesus,
help me to know
what are your desires
and your plans for my life
and what are the cares of the world.
Because I don't want to be tied down
by the cares of the world.
I don't want to struggle every day
to make a payment
on something
I don't need.
God, I want you.
I want your perfect will.
Jesus, that brings peace.
That brings peace,
God.
Oh,
Lord, I'm lacking in peace right now,
God.
You know I am.
If that fits
you at all, just
speak
it. You know I'm lacking in peace, God. And you said to ask, seek, and knock. And if I just ask and seek and knock, I will get that peace that you promised. The peace of what? Passes all understanding. Peace so cool that you can't even explain it. Does anybody here need peace this morning? The world's been rolling over you. Come on up here. Y'all come up to the altar if you can. Just kneel down and ask God to give you what you're asking for. I need peace, God. I need direction, God. Lord, people and things are trying to pull me off the path that I know you want for me, God. Give me direction, God. Come on. Come on. There's things in your life that you want to get straightened out. There's things you're doing that you know aren't right. They're not good for you. They'll bring a bad harvest. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, don't shy away from what God wants to do this morning. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to free you. Addictions have to bow to the name of Jesus. Addictions have to bow to the name of Jesus. Oh, lust has to bow to the name of Jesus. Jezebel's spirits have to bow to the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 If you need to, man, you know, if you need to recall, you know, there's something about. When you committed your life to Jesus, freedom came, didn't it? Sometimes you gotta rekindle that thing. You gotta make a statement that God, Lord, I got off the path. But Lord, I'm hearing a voice behind me this morning saying, this is the way, walk in it. 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 So recommit what you started out. If you've got off the path, come on up here. Don't be ashamed. Everybody's up here for different reasons right now, but God wants to free you. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Yes, Jesus. Got something to put on, Dan? Pray for anybody that wants prayer.